Hello, hello. Welcome to Hockey on the Beach. Welcome to Florida. Daria and Kim, we're right here for you. And we have to congratulate Team USA men's and women's so we don't get any weird stuff going on around us. Yeah, congrats, guys and girls, everyone. We're so happy. And so let's start with that. Kim, how was your Olympic day? The gold Olympic day, the final.
It was fantastic, and the game, I think, was everything that people had anticipated, minus the fighting, of course. Everybody kind of thought back to the US Canada Four Nations Cup games, where there was a lot of fighting, a lot of physical stuff in there. We didn't see a lot of that in the gold medal game. Of course, the big reason is it's not allowed. If you're fighting, you're automatically thrown out, and that's the end of it. But very entertaining game. It was also the most watched sporting event ever in the United States before 9 a.m. because it had the 8 o'clock face-off. It was fantastic. Kept me on the edge of my seat. Although I did get a little worried at times because Canada, I felt, had the upper hand. They kind of dictated the pace of play. They had 42 shots on goal. US only had 28. And I was disappointed that Hellebuck didn't win the most valuable player in the tournament, and they gave it to McDavid. I thought Hellebuck should have won that because he had an outstanding tournament. But the game was great. Lots of drama, lots of up and down play, which is what us hockey fans like to see in championship game.
Sorry about the noises. I am right now at the hockey rink because we have safe hockey, youth hockey player. Kim, you have to understand that when I say Kim and Daria, I immediately think Barbie, Ken, and all the stuff going on. So I might say
Yes.
weird stuff. Don't get offended. I know you won't be.
Never.
I woke up about 7:45 a.m. on Sunday. I'm sorry that was horrible, but I felt so good. And I was ready emotionally and physically because I also exercise. A lot of people thought that Canada is going to make it. It's going to make it to the goal. But because I'm doing for my other sports job, I'm doing a lot of game previews. When you look at the details, it really showed that as a team, USA had a lot of advantage. I know that you probably paid attention to the game. In the last three games for the Canadians, Brendan Cooper, he kind of showed that he relies only on three players, with McDavid, Pellegrini, and MacKinnon, because they were playing every other shift. So I don't think that's a really good situation when it comes to such important games, because you really show that, yeah, I have those three players, they're going to get us through. What about the rest of the team? Maybe they were not
Exactly.
making. Maybe they were not showing up, but because they didn't have as much ice time, also it's still teamwork, and that's what USA showed, teamwork. And when we paid attention to defense, USA was better. So basically, Canada had only one advantage: power play.
But in the championship game, no teams connected on a power play. They were both, I forget, 0 for 2 or 0 for 3 on the power play. So that was a nullified in the gold medal game. But you were just talking about Cooper kind of maybe relying on just a few core players. You build a roster of 25 that you take to the Olympics, and they're there for a reason. They are there because you thought that they're key players and will step up for you in competition in important moments. And as a coach, maybe for you not to have trust and confidence in those players in a big spot, that says something maybe about your selections for the Olympic team. I know Breezeboy was the general manager, so him and Cooper kind of tag team the selections, for the Canadian team. But you can't play those guys 25, 30 minutes. In a championship game like that, especially when you've been riding them the way you have in the other games in the tournament, because they didn't have they had some tough games down the stretch. It was not even a given they were going to make the gold medal game. Their semifinal game went into overtime, and then they finally won it. But another thing to your point, you talked about you know, defenseman and the defensive player of the U.S. And it's always those guys you don't think of that come up big and make those big plays in big spots. Same thing happens in the Stanley Cup playoffs. A guy that maybe was third on the depth chart line all of a sudden will come up big in a big spot, and he'll have a great game or a couple of great games and a great series, and then he's someone that the team can feed off of for energy as they make their championship run. But I was thinking watching the game, I wonder how many people put money on Matt Boldy to have the first goal for the U.S. in a championship game. You talk about guys that you would have never thought of that maybe would come up in a big spot. Matt Boldy's a perfect example.
Yeah, grown American boy. So it's right. You and I know about internal in-state competition, right? At the end of the day, before the Panthers won, because they got all the podiums. They have one gold, Matthew Tkachuk, obviously. They have three silver, Reinhardt, Marchand, and Bennett. And they have three bronze medals, which is Lundell, Mikkola, and Rissarin. And Tampa Bay only has two. Because when initial Olympic talk started, everyone was like, ooh, Tampa's going to send like 11 players to the Olympics. But it's all about the result. So as a result, for the Panthers, success. Tampa Bay Lightning, something to consider. We have zero Finnish players, and obviously they got three bronze medals for the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, well look at Victor Hedman, defenseman for Team Sweden. He had a couple of assists in the tournament, but they were early on in the tournament. And I mean, if you're asking me, he'd be a non-factor. Pontus Holmberg was also on the Swedish team. I think he had a goal. Maybe he finished with two. I couldn't find a statistical breakdown for all the players team by team as far as their goals and assists go. But Holmberg is another one that has played very well for Tampa, but yet you put him into a lineup with a lot of folks that he hasn't played with. And the chemistry is just not there. A lot of guys on the U.S. and Canada team, they have played together before. They played in the Four Nations Cup, so they had a little bit of chemistry to start with. But to take basically a brand new team, maybe like Sweden or Slovakia, Czechia, guys that have, you know, not played together in a couple of years, it's hard to develop that magic and that chemistry in such a short tournament to propel you to a win.
Unfortunately, had some issues internally between the coaches and the players. Yes. They will get better because they're awesome guy coach. I don't even know why he left before. He's going to be back finally. So we are expecting Sweden to get better on the international stage. So NHL hockey is back. Nikita Kucherov is awesome. Of course, he's well-rested. He's hungry. He already has 95 points as we speak. The Tampa Bay Lightning have two games, defeated the Maple Leafs, right? It was a weird game, yes, 4-2. Yes. But then they went to the Carolina Hurricanes home and they lost 4-5. How were those games for you? I know you probably didn't expect much when it comes to the Maple Leafs because it was like the first game after everyone returned. But still, it was pretty crazy. Two disallowed goals in the first period.
Yeah, in the Toronto game, I expected a little bit of sluggishness and expected a slow start because of the 25-day layoff, you know. I kind of expected that, but I thought that the rust would get shaken off a little bit quicker than what happened. The only person that really came to play much in that first period was Nikita Kucherov. I mean, his engine was going, and it was going so fast he was offside on two goals that were disallowed by the Toronto coaches. You know, they challenged the two goals and they took them off the board. But he finished with, I think, a goal and a couple assists in that game, and that gives him 701 career assists now. And he's, I think, the second Russian player to have 700 assists in his career, and he's now in the top 10 in the NHL for career assists. So he's only going to add to those totals, you know, throughout the rest of this season and then the next season. as far as the Carolina game goes, it was kind of like the Boston game. I mean, if you turned the game on and you said, oh, I got to go get an adult beverage, I think maybe I'll get a snack before the game really gets going, you sat back down, it was 3-0 already. So the Lightning did come back. That was great. They showed the ability to come back. I think the back-to-backs right after the 25-day layoff and playing Johansson instead of Vazzy hurt them a little bit and kind of caught up with them in that game. Now, Carolina's a good team. They're the right up there with the Lightning for top spot, you know, the Eastern Conference. I think Colorado, Tampa, and Carolina are the top three in the NHL in point total. So the Hurricanes are no slouch, and Brind'Amour does a great job during the regular season. The playoffs are a totally different matter. I can't put my finger on it, but, you know, that's a conversation for another time. But, you know, Lightning have another game tonight. Buffalo is in town, and that's a very important game because the Sabres are right on the Lightning's heels as they try to climb up in the division. I think there's a 6 or 8 point gap between Buffalo and Tampa, and the Sabres are going to be looking to get a win tonight and close that gap. The only good thing favoring the Lightning tonight, Vazzy will be back in goal, and Buffalo played last night and they lost to the Panthers. So they're going to come in here a little bit more tired than what the Lightning will be after a day off. Hopefully it's another win for the Lightning in the win column.
Yeah, and it's going to be the last game of Quivery. As you said, yes, the Lightning is number one in the Eastern Conference, but what concerns me is the schedule. Because in March, yes, the Lightning going to have 16 games, 8 mm-hmm. at home, 8 on the road, and in April, they're going to get 8 more games. Yes. So they're going to be really busy. They're going to be out a lot, like in and out of the town all the time. And mm-hmm. that's concerning because, yes, they're doing great right now, but before the playoffs, it's really crucial to stay healthy and to stay upbeat.
Yes, I looked at the schedule. They're basically playing every other day. Every other day they're playing till the end of the season now. The saving grace for the Lightning, they only have 2 back-to-backs from now till the end of the season. So that will work in their favor. There won't be a lot of practice time. Usually you get to this time of year where you don't have a lot of time off and the schedule gets compressed a little bit. You're playing every other day. There won't be a lot of practice time, a lot of video work, but not a lot of practice time. I look for Vazzy to probably take a few more games off down the stretch as the Lightning can win some games and build the lead in the division over the second and third place teams. Cooper will probably rest him more. We'll go with Johansson. The other thing I think that will come into the Lightning's favor as they go down the stretch, they had a lot of guys that were injured, as you know, early in the season, and they don't have all that wear and tear on their body and on their legs that some of the other team members have. Braden Point, Victor Hedman, Nick Paul, those guys all miss substantial amounts of time, and they're integral parts of the Lightning team, and we need them to be healthy and at their best coming down the stretch and into the playoffs. And I'm hoping that layoff they had earlier in the season, recouping from their injuries, the Lightning will see the benefit of that, you know, as we go down the stretch run.
Yeah, today is important because we're just trying to welcome everyone and remind that we're going to be here for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. So the last question that I have, March 6th is the NHL trade deadline. I know we talked about it before, but once again, we have a few days. Do you think we should get anyone? They might, Lightning probably can use some, like, minor little help with the skilled offensive forward or maybe skilled. Well, I can't say defense because defense guys really stepped up. They're doing great.
The only trades that I would see the Lightning possibly making, another right-handed defenseman, although the defense has played pretty good. This time of year, when you're coming down the stretch, I just hate to add folks into the mix because they're playing so well. They have that chemistry, and now you're bringing in, you know, another one or two guys to try to get into that rotation. So I'm a little concerned about that.
Steven Stamkos. I know there's a lot of media quotes that say, oh, he's available. At the same time, Steven said that he's committed to the Nashville right now, and he wants to try his best with the team till the rest of the season. But once again, we have like 5-6 days before all decisions are final. So, I'm just still hoping that Steven Stamkos will get a chance to say goodbye to hockey in Tampa Bay in the Lightning uniform, as it was meant to be.
Yes, that would be most appropriate. The fans would love it, but from a hockey standpoint, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to bring Stamkos in for the stretch run. Number one, the Lightning couldn't afford him. He's got a big contract, and the Lightning
human start with the budget.
Yes.
You have to talk about dreams. And you talk about money, man.
Well, that comes into play. Unfortunately, that's the overriding factor with a lot of these players and a lot of these deals that are on the table for the Lightning. They just cannot, from a mathematical standpoint and a cap standpoint, get that player in. Unless, Julian Breezeball has some crystal ball, he can say and make Nikita Kucherov restructure his contract, Braden Point restructure his contract, Vazzy restructure his contract. But then you're hurting yourself 5-10 years down the road because your cap is still going to be high because you're paying that money out. So I don't look for a big deal. I've heard some talk about getting maybe an upgrade at the backup goalie position, but I'm happy with Johansson. He wasn't at his best, Thursday night in Carolina. You're going to have that. We've seen games this season where Vazzy wasn't at his best. And if my memory serves me correctly, Vazzy was even pulled, I think, one game early this season, very early in the season. I think it was the first time he'd ever been pulled in a game in his career. So I wouldn't expect much. I know when the Lightning acquired guys like Zemgus Girgensons, everybody's, well, who's Zemgus Girgensons? He's played an integral part and a very important part of the Lightning's team this season.
Let me add that. He was awesome for Team Latvia.
He was good.
So much better than the players in other teams, even in Team Canada.
Yes. Yes, he did. I would look for a move like that. Bring in somebody that's not a big name. The people that just follow the Lightning because they're the Lightning that aren't really bought into the team and they don't know the players that well. Yeah, who's this guy? I never heard of him. But you're going to find out that those players, a lot of times, are the guys that really are going to do the dirty work and do the things that you need to do to win a championship. So I would expect maybe a small move like that. But other than that, I don't think it'll amount to a whole lot of anything for the Lightning.
Lightning are doing great. The team is in a great place.
Yeah.
And let's stop at that.
They are. They got a 6-point lead, in the division over, I think, Detroit and Montreal are right on their heels. This is the time of year you just have to string wins together. You talk about getting points in every game, getting a point or two. This is the time of year you have to do that. I think these next 6 weeks probably are the most exciting outside of the Stanley Cup playoffs for hockey because you're getting everybody's best effort. If you're a couple of points out of a playoff spot, you're getting a best effort from some team every single night, either to move up in playoff positioning or to get enough points to secure one of those playoff positions. Case in point would be the Columbus Blue Jackets. They fired their coach
Ohio State. What about Buffalo? But I'm just kidding. Go on with Columbus. Yeah.
I'm just using them as an example. They fired their coach. New coach. They won five in a row before the Olympic break. Now, they did lose their first game back the other night to Boston. They're like 4 points out of a playoff spot, out of the last wild card spot now. And I think they're a team, if you were a betting person and you wanted to put some cash on a dark horse to make the playoffs, I would put some money on Columbus, because he's got them playing the way they should have been playing all season, but for some reason they weren't.
Let's go Bulls. Me usually say that. Today I'm going to say that. And we see you guys later. Thank you, Ken.
Always.
Thanks for listening to the Hockey on the Beach podcast.